War doesn't end when you leave the battlefield. The hardest fight comes after service. Identity, purpose, and tribe. Where do you stand when the uniform comes off? This is where we talk about it. No bullshit, no filters, just real stories from those who've been through it. This is the Great Guns Podcast with your host, James Scott.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Giving It Beans podcast by Great Guns. And on today's episode, we have the lovely Sarah Sandman, who not only is a mom, a wife, she's also an entrepreneur, freediver, and generally just a awesome spirit out there doing great things. So, hi, Sarah. How are you doing?
Hey, James. I'm great. I'm great. Great to see you. It's been a while.
That it has. far too long. And you're looking quite radiant and tan, but I suppose that's because you're living out in South Africa in the sun, unlike us out here in the UK, who never see the sun.
Yep. And it helps to have a uniform that's a swimming costume. It keeps me tanned and fit.
So, Sarah, just for the viewers, if you could just tell us a little bit more about you, more than kind of like in a 60-second, who are you?
So I was born and raised in Cape Town, South Africa. At a young age, I loved swimming, loved ocean. At one stage, I was in a big car accident where friends of mine died, and I realized, sure, life's too short. That was in high school. So I started doing all the things I always thought I wanted to do, but hadn't started yet. So I became a surf lifeguard, started surfing, getting out in the ocean a little bit. Now, still living in Cape Town. I'm mom of a 10-year-old, happy wife, business owner. Have done a bit of development work to give back to the communities, teaching swimming. Got a swim school, recently closed it after 20 years. So that's a new adjustment. And just exploring new avenues now at the moment, freediving, instructing, and I'm here.
Awesome, brilliant. So you've got, I suppose from what you just said, you've got quite a different approach to life. You're not employed in a job, in the city or Cape Town, that sort of thing. You homeschooled your daughter for a while and so on. Can you tell us what kind of motivated them and what motivates you around that lifestyle?
I'm lucky enough to be married to a similar spirited person. We both like living outside of the box in the sense that we don't subscribe to the 9-to-5 work life. And we really believe there's so much more in life for everyone, actually. And we've kind of lost ourselves along the way as a society. We are running the rat race and getting sucked into it. And so I made a conscious decision that that's not the way I wanted to live my life, and certainly wanted to raise my daughter to know that she can make her own choices. If she decides to, you know, live that life, that's great, but there are so many options. And so decided after a little while of getting sucked into that rat race, really just working, trying to be an athlete, doing triathlon, getting up early, training, then personal training other people, then swim teaching. And then I had my daughter, and all my ideas were too risky or dangerous when you have a baby. So I got talked out of a lot of things that I wanted to do, like going sailing around the world with a little one. And so I started living my life very much not true to myself. And after a little while, I realized that that's not the way to go. So made a few decisions, decided to homeschool Victoria, got other instructors in my pool as opposed to being in the pool the whole time. A few little tweaks here and there, and started freeing up time slowly but surely. My husband travels for work, so we were able to jump on a few trips with him. And I realized, hey, this is actually easier than people make it sound. or that most people think it's super difficult to live a bit freer and out of the rat race. And so we just started constantly looking at what answer is going to give us a bit more freedom. Well, you know, obviously we still have to earn an income, but yeah, just trying to every opportunity choose the thing that's going to make us feel a bit more free. So that's where we're at now.
Yeah. Okay. So if you mentioned there about choosing kind of freedom, is that what motivates you do these things, or is that just part of the motivation? You know, how you wired, what that switch that gets you going when you wake up in the morning, you're like, do I feel like the day, or I'm jumping out of bed and I'm giving it beans, I'm heading out to the hills.
I'm pretty lucky. Like, my favorite time of the day is sunrise. So like in summer, up super early, no problem. I can get outdoors pretty quickly and easily. We're blessed with like really good weather in summer here as well. In winter, I find it a bit more difficult. I'm definitely like a seasonal depressant. So in winter, I find it a bit more challenging.
But, my wife is solar powered is the word I was looking for.
Solar powered, yeah.
Yeah, so I think she's like you.
Yeah, I'm like a lizard, you know, just give me a little bit of time in the sun and I'll power up. Yeah, so I am wired. I enjoy moving. I love nature. I'm an introverted extrovert, so I enjoy people, but I get the point where being around people makes me more tired, and being in nature always uplifts me, always energizes me. So I definitely find it, even when I'm feeling down or tired, or I kind of just push myself, just even if it's just to drive down to the beach or just take a walk down the driveway. Because I know as soon as I step out of the house, I'm going to be like, hey, this is actually quite cool. Like, why didn't I do this sooner? So that's, I know, luckily enough, I've had enough years of testing that hypothesis to know if I just put the running shoes on or if I just get in the car with my towel, I'm going to take the next step.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned obviously what happened to you when you were at school. Now, it's obviously a kind of a big trigger, imagine. But then also, as I am, as my wife is, entrepreneur, owner of my own business, don't work in the mainstream and so on. And often that can have quite a bit of effect on your own mental health. You find that, well, with all the things that you're doing, that it gets troubling.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, they always say comparison is the thief of all joy. And especially being an entrepreneur, having your own business, not having set work hours, working from home, you know, you always think it should look a particular way. And I got into the space of really comparing like my beginning chapter or middle chapter to everybody else's end of their book. And I started getting a little bit quite down about where I was in life. And then I hit a stage where we didn't know it at the time, where I was super hormonally imbalanced, like borderline bipolar. My husband just calls it batshit crazy, but went through this phase of really just not knowing who I am, not knowing what I wanted out of life, just totally lost the plot. And luckily managed to find the right healthcare practitioners and managed to get the hormonal stuff sorted out, which then in turn meant that I could feel like myself again. But one of the main things that got me there was like I had totally lost my love for the ocean. Like, I still love the ocean, but I didn't ever get down to the beach. I live probably a 2-minute walk from the beach. I wasn't ever going to the beach, wasn't ever taking my daughter, was just like not interested in it. And part of my healing journey was I decided to go back to what I love. And so that one decision of I would touch the sand every day. So not even like, oh, I'm going to get in the ocean or oh, I'm going to surf or free dive or anything. It was just, I'm going to drive to the ocean and just put my feet in the sand every single day for, I said at that stage, for the year. And just that decision suddenly kickstarted like a healing, like just that one selfish moment in the day that I was taking for myself, no matter how rushed I was. I would park the car, run down onto the beach, put my toes in the sea and run back, you know, if I didn't have the time. And if I had the time, maybe I'd go for a 2-minute walk. And I just started really slowly because I didn't actually want to do it in the beginning, but it was a commitment I made to myself. And in doing that, I started going, hey, why don't I just dive in the ocean? You know, like the cold water therapy and everything that everyone seems to be doing nowadays.
Very big.
Wasn't quite Wim Hof, but, you know, he was also one of the inspirations. Like, hey, why don't I just, we've got the cold Atlantic Ocean here. So put my cozy on, my swimming costume, and dove under a few waves and actually made a friend through doing that. She was like, oh, really, why? Like, I see you down at the beach every day. I'm like, I told her my story. And she's like, I'll join you. And so then I had a partner in crime and an accountability partner. And every day, still
very important that, yeah.
You know, and that was so important to have that accountability partner as well. Just like, okay, we'll go tomorrow at this time. And then I'd wake up and I'd be like, I don't want to go. And she'd be like, okay, see you in 5.
Yeah.
And now we're two years in, and we're still going every single day, obviously bar sickness or travel or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just such an awareness. It's really changed my healing process and my work. I made better choices for work, like closed businesses that I thought I'd just carry on with. So that one little decision of I'm taking myself to see the ocean or toes in the sea, in the sand, has snowballed.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. Do you find your kind of attraction to the ocean? Is it the sea, the sand, the waves type thing? Or is it, do you find that kind of healing? You think the healing power is in the ocean? Because I know from myself, I'm always drawn to water, whether I'm in it, on it, under it, surrounded by it. There's a certain kind of calming and therapeutic kind of feeling to water. Is that what you found, or was it more the whole process of, you know, walking down the sand between your toes and getting into the ocean and the waves? What was it that you feel?
I think it's a bit of both, and without sounding too woo-woo, you know, or whatever. The ocean definitely has healing qualities, like from the makeup of the water to, like, you know, it's the creation of it, like what it actually is. Like, it's phenomenal. Like, if you just look at the ocean and every wave is different, and like, just, it feels like, you know, like an artist with a painting, you know, like that appreciation of what it looks like. And then the freedom of getting into the ocean, like it makes you feel small, because it's both freeing, but it's also like, it can be a scary place, so you know your place in it. Sorry, this is a phone ringing in the background. It's not even my phone, it's my daughter's.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sorry, I even put my phone on silent and here's hers. Okay,
cool,
try again. Right.
So then the next question that I would have for you is, from your whole experience and things, what kind of advice would you have for someone else that could be in a similar position or not quite knowing where they are, like you spoke about not knowing who you were? I think in life we all get a little bit lost in what's going on. What would kind of be your key bit of advice for someone like that?
I think, like, first of all, deep down, we all know who we are, and we get a little bit lost along the journey. And having people in your life that stick by who you are, you know, like whether you've got money or don't have money, whether you're being successful or not successful, whether you're a mom or a single parent, like they kind of like, they know you and they keep you on track. So like I said, my accountability partner friend, you know, if I hadn't had her a lot of the time, I would have been like, oh, fuck it, I don't want to get in the water today. It's really difficult to keep momentum going. Like momentum and motivation is like bathing. You need to do it every day to stay clean. You need to bath every day to stay clean. You need like to motivate and build momentum every single day. And so for me, that's like quiet time. Like, you know, I'm a prayer creation believer. And so like that grounding, so whether it's meditation for someone or journaling or whatever that might be, and just the decision to do it, like just choose to step outside, just choose to walk around the block, just choose to put your toes in the ocean. And whether it's saying, I'll just do it for this week or I'll just do it for this month, you know, like just stick to it, like be tough on yourself, because ultimately you're going to reap the benefits of that one healthy decision. Like if you mess up the other stuff, you eat badly or you like drink too much wine or whatever, you've done that one thing, that one good thing for yourself. And that's what kept me going, because I kept on messing up in lots of other ways. But that one good thing, I was like, well, I did that today. Yeah, so to me, that's you know, that healthy headspace of that one good healthy thing that you're doing for yourself. Because depression and anxiety and all those things, they, I won't say they sneak up on you, but they, you don't realize they're coming until they're in full force. And yeah, then when they're in full force, yeah, you don't like you, then you don't have those, like that mental capacity to actually deal with it.
Yeah. I think you kind of, people get overwhelmed. That's
yeah.
And then it's, you're digging yourself out of a massive pit.
Yeah. And then it's like, I should be running. I should be should I take antidepressants, but I don't want to. And like, I shouldn't be eating what I'm eating. And so, yeah, just choosing that one thing to do, I think makes a big difference.
Brilliant. So now I've changed the questioning a little bit. So I have an interesting question. We want to find out if you could be a member of Terrible Ideas Club. Is there an occasion where you had a terrible idea that either worked or it didn't? But you had fun doing it, and what lesson were you able to take out of that view in the future?
So I am terribly scared of heights. Like I will swim deep down in the ocean. Please don't make me stand close to a cliff or go high up in, you know, jumping off cliffs into water and all those things that people find so fun. They make me want to vomit. So we sail quite a bit. And like I said, we're in the cold Atlantic Ocean. So it was a day that we were sailing and I was like, but I haven't got in the ocean. I haven't done my ocean dip today. And so everyone was like, well, just jump off the yacht, which is easy enough to do. But when the water's only about 10 degrees, first of all, the shock of hitting it, and then having for me to jump off that actual yacht, because it's quite high, actually. That was one of the terrible ideas that stick out. That isn't actually a terrible idea in hindsight, because it motivated me to do something totally out of my comfort zone. At that stage, you know, I was probably a month into my getting in the ocean kind of thing. So the water was still very cold. I wasn't used to it. But choosing to do that, and everyone looking at me like I was a crazy person because I was the only person doing it. And I just realized stepping out of that comfort zone is where the fun begins, is where the building begins, is where the growth begins. And I don't know if you know Laird Hamilton. He's like a big wave surfer, basically invented the stand-up paddleboard. And And he says, as a human race, we're so used to being comfortable. Like, oh, the sun's bright, we put sunglasses on. Oh, it's too hot, we put the air conditioner on. Oh, it's too cold, we put the heater on. We like remove ourselves. Like, so we're comfortable all the time. And he's like, we should be making ourselves uncomfortable every single day in some way or form. And that first jump off the yacht, that made me so uncomfortable because also everyone was watching me. I'm like, shit, now I've got to do it. standing here in my swimming costume. That first step to choose to be uncomfortable was quite an eye opener for me. And it's kind of just been the catalyst to a lot more terrible ideas. So now everywhere we go, if we go hiking or camping or something, we are looking for kind of pools to jump into or ways to get a bit uncomfortable out in nature. And it was a big mind shift for me.
The only reason I wouldn't have done that is just this big sharks that are in that water that you're jumping into.
The water's too cold even for the sharks. It's okay.
I don't mind the cold. I don't mind the ocean. It's just when you're out in the middle of nowhere jumping off the yacht and knowing that there's these six and a half meter great whites cruising around. When I used to dive in Cape Town, that was always in the back of my head. Where is the Johnnies?
Yeah.
No, but that's brilliant. And it is true what you say. There's sayings, get uncomfortable, get comfortable in being uncomfortable. And I think it was David Goggins that said that. There's also that saying, embrace the suck. Some things kind of, you think they suck until you do it. And then you realize, actually, I pushed myself out of my comfort zone. Oh, wow, there's this whole new world on the other side. So, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. It's once you do these things, you actually in a different way.
Yeah.
So I think that's great advice, what you're saying.
And I think also teaching our children that. You know, we so quick to mollycoddle, but make sure our children are comfortable and fed, and we take snacks with, and we take water everywhere we go. Like, heaven forbid they get thirsty.
Heaven forbid they've got to get off the couch and go and get their own drink.
Exactly. I think as a society and a human race at the moment, we are so scared of being uncomfortable or letting our children be uncomfortable. We're not allowing them to grow and thrive in that space.
No, very much so. I 100% agree with you on that. It's so true. Another interesting question, because obviously Great Guns is also about coffee, and we like coffee. Are you a tea or a coffee person?
Definitely a coffee person. My husband laughs at me. Every single night, I put my head on the pillow and I go, I can't wait for coffee in the morning. He's like, really? Again? Like, and it's my last thought before I go to sleep every night. I'm like, oh, I can't wait for that coffee in the morning. And part of my like hormone journey was I wasn't allowed to have coffee on an empty stomach, you know, to help with the hormone detox and all the stuff. And it was my biggest challenge. I'm like, now I've got to get up, find something to eat first. Normally it's just like my little ritual, making coffee and then sitting and drinking it and loving it. And now I'm like, flip, I've got to think about food first, really?
Yeah, it's that first cup of coffee contemplating the day ahead. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that if you were a coffee.
Part of my healing as well was that ritual in the morning, get up, have a coffee, sit and journal, have some quiet time. And it was just for me. And if my daughter came, I'd be like, sorry, I'm not available. This is my time, you know, just for that half an hour. Coffee was part of my healing journey, actually.
Oh, that's good. Well, they also say that a good adventure always starts off with a good coffee.
Absolutely.
Or is that just me that says that?
Never a salad.
Yeah. As your life got so much, if you were a coffee, what coffee would you be? Why?
I quite like the idea of being a dark roast. It can be a bit bolder, but also like a little bit sweeter. It's been through like higher temperatures, been put to the test, you know, and come up the other side as something great. So
that's great. Yeah. I like that. So looking ahead and looking to the future, obviously I know that you've got some had some big changes with what's going on. And so where are you heading? What's the future hold for you?
Like I mentioned before, I've closed my swim school after being a swim teacher for 20 years. But it's kind of coming full circle because when I left school, all I wanted to do was become a Navy SEAL and become a Navy SEAL instructor and do all these hardcore things. And in the last few years, done the journey of freedive instructing. I work on a contractual basis for our National Sea Rescue here. And I go and train the rescue swimmers along the wild coast and get sent off into the wild blue yonder to go and train new lifeguards and rescue swimmers. So it feels like, you know, I do a lot of development. I believe no child should drown. So my heart is in the water. So whether it's training lifeguards, rescue swimmers, people to be more comfortable under the water, knowing their bodies better, that's going to be the next evolution is like figuring out my way to do that on a bigger scope. So whether that's like maybe an online course and doing one-on-ones and bringing it to the greater population.
Yeah.
Making that accessible, I think it's going to be the next thing.
Cool. And have you got any adventures planned? Because I know you went off on a yacht trip somewhere terrible where there was the sunshine and the palm beaches and things.
We were in the Bahamas for work, so it was terrible. But the next one is actually I leave tomorrow morning. The next morning, I'm doing one of these rescue swimmer trips. So I go off with my friend Sam, and he and I drive for many hours. We drive for 2 days up the east coast of South Africa, and we go to the wild coast and we go and train the rescue swimmers there and the NSRI crew. So that's happening now in a day or two's time, and I'm away for 2 weeks. Yeah.
And you must get a massive amount of satisfaction from doing that. I know what it's, I'm also involved with training youngsters and things, and just seeing that development and when they kind of go, I'm not sure about this, and then you see them smashing it,
That self-confidence and just that like sudden realization, like, hold on, I'm capable of this. It's just such an inspiring thing to witness. So it's great to be involved in that and to get the opportunity to be part of a bigger thing.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right, well, brilliant. Well, Sarah, thank you very much. Really appreciate your time. And I hope your journey is full of sunshine and they're saying, sailing, may the wind, sun be on your face and the wind be at your back or something. But genuinely that we... and we'd love to hear in future like what the next progression is, and then it'd be nice to get you back on and see where you are further along the line if that's something you'd like to do.
That would be amazing, James. And just as a parting thought, I guess, is that that it's so, you know, like we choose as a family to get up and go no matter what the previous day gave us. So like whether it's a late night or, you know, financial stress or anything like that, it's like we've just a conscious decision to say yes. If somebody goes, hey, do you want to sail tomorrow? Or hey, do you want to do this? Or can you go on a trip? Like it's not that it's all sunshine and roses. You know, I've got to leave my daughter and my husband. My husband works full time. We've put my daughter back in school after homeschooling for 3 years. And so it doesn't come without challenges. It looks amazing. It looks like, oh, Sarah's living the life. She's been in Bahamas. She's done this. She's done that. But in the background, you know, I've got the same stresses as everyone else. But the rewards are so much greater because we choose to step into them. And I just feel like anyone can do that. It's so accessible to anyone as long as you just choose it. Like, there's nothing special about me or my family. We just choose it. So if I can inspire any of your listeners, like, just choose it. Like, make that choice, even though it's super difficult sometimes.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So that's the Sandman's, the family Sandman, giving it beans out there. And it's fantastic. No, and that's exactly what we're trying to get across to our audience and our listeners is exactly what you're saying. Just choose it. Just take the first step. Just get out there. And that's why we keep saying give it beans. Go for it.
James, thanks so much. Thank you.
Really nice.
Appreciate it. It was great.
Cheers. Thanks.
Bye.
That's a wrap, folks, and a big thank you to our guest. Remember, keep moving forward. The fight's not over until you decide it is. Till next time, stay bold, stay fearless. Live life like it's too short for half measures. This is the Great Guns Podcast, signing off. And remember to subscribe to join our tribe.